You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's not another Buffalo podcast. With Pat.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's patron saint of mediocrity, Ryan Tannehill.
John.
Mike Vrabel is Stanley Steamer carpet cleaner. Dude, he'll have a carpet, you know, he'll steam over some of the shittiest carpets you've ever seen.
And Rando.
Absolutely Joe Flacco not. Has a Super
Joe
Bowl
Flacco!
MVP.
Look at the stats, dog. Look at the stats.
Look,
MVP.
Look at the stats.
Your argument said that Matt Ryan went to a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl, and then people
I
were like,
Joe Flacco,
Flacco elite.
On Buffalo Rumblings.
All right, welcome back to Not Another Buffalo Podcast. It is a f-ing victory Monday.
Oh.
See, if I put it at the beginning, it takes less time to find it.
Fair enough.
So
this is not another four-time AFC East championship in a row podcast.
I love it.
This is not another 6-6 podcast.
Also, this is a Buffalo Rumblings podcast, and you can find us on all platforms at Not Buff Podcast. And this episode, this Victory Monday episode, is brought to you by Small City Realty. If you're looking to buy, sell, or manage property in Western New York, call Zach Quazilius at Small City Real Estate, 585-409-1088. That's 585-409-1088. And by the J. Kors Agency for all your insurance needs. So we could start with a vibe check here, but I already know how you guys are feeling. And so, Brandon, I kind of want to, I don't know. I'm enjoying bringing back the receipts today. I'm enjoying seeing receipts on Twitter. I want to let All Vibes John just kind of have a moment here. And
have a moment. Brando, you earned the moment.
All is forgiven.
Yes.
All is forgiven. 12 men saved the season, maybe.
Yes. Well, I have been thinking about what I was going to say about this all night, and I don't know what else to say besides we're going to the Super Bowl! Sorry, that was so loud. I'm really sorry for that. I'm really, 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 really sorry. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
I'm sorry, John.
Is there a base boost on that? Yeah.
There's something boost. Sounds like
we're
we plugged
going to
it
the
into
Super Bowl.
A boss overdrive pedal.
The Bills make me go into overdrive, man. I don't know what else to say. I feel like if I was being a hater the whole time, I have to be like that energetic for the Super Bowl. No. So
yeah,
we can look like garbage on offense. We can throw interceptions. We can do whatever we want and we're going to win and we're going to win every game.
Josh will save us.
So I was thinking about this today too, right? We get lit up in my basketball game. And as I'm talking to these kids, I'm like, I like these kids, but they're just so bad at basketball sometimes. And it's like talking to Josh Allen, he's just so bad making bad decisions sometimes, but then he has a heroic play. And it's like, you just love them, right? I love my basketball players and I want them to know that I care about them. But there's times that they need to know that they made a stupid play. But then it's like, I don't know. I was listening to Bulldog on the radio today. And it's like when your kid does something stupid, it's like you love them unconditionally. You love them still. But you're like, oh, don't do that. But keep being awesome. But let's just not do that again. You know,
maybe I mean, that was basically Sean McDermott at halftime. Like when they asked
I've never
him
seen
about
him like that at halftime before.
Again, like you can look at it two different ways. Was he just like frustrated and upset with him? Or was he like publicly calling out his quarterback on TV? I think he was just frustrated. That's a lot to say. But yeah,
I think it's both. You should get called out for that. But if you look at the screenshot of the throw where the ball is in the air, I don't know if you saw it. Ty Johnson should go in for a touchdown.
Right. From Josh's point of view, like any of us playing Madden thought that that was going to be a touchdown. Like from the view behind Josh, it really looked like he had a space there. And if he hadn't gotten speared by that guy in the helmet, he might have still gotten in. So, by the way, in concussion protocol right now, he actually has a concussion. Yeah.
Linebacker broke his wrist. He had to have surgery for the Dolphins.
On that play?
I don't know if it was on that play.
Jerome Baker? He was the guy who just came back, correct?
Yeah. And then they had Van Ginkle get hurt too, I believe.
Yeah.
It's one of their better linebackers as well.
I was reading today that the Dolphins have lost more wins above replacement, the WAR stat, due to injury than any other team this year. Bills are not nothing either, right, with who they have lost. But that's tough to go into the playoffs to play Kansas City in minus 18 degrees now. So I'd be happy with our 0 degrees in Buffalo, whatever it's going to be against Pittsburgh. But John, right, how are you feeling? Right. How are you feeling? Because the receipts are fine. I'm okay with taking the hate, and because I'm a, you know, me. I'm as vibes as I can be. But if you have 12 men on the field, you did something stupid.
I know. So. I feel like I don't know. Like we robbed a bank and got away with it. Like I don't. There's a better metaphor out
it's
there.
A good metaphor.
I don't know. It's like you skimped on your homework all semester or something like that, and all of a sudden the teacher says like show up to this volunteer thing for extra credit, and you jump back right up to an A plus or something like that. Like I feel like that's what it is. We were kind of like gifted and also not gifted because it was stressful.
We won 6 games in a row. I mean,
I know. I'm just saying like the ability to have the 2 seed after being 6-6 is the result of a muddled AFC.
Yeah.
And again, 11-6 is nothing to, you know, usually the top 2 seeds, the second seed is usually 11-6. Past few years has been a little bit better than that, but that's just, it was kind of the giveth and the taketh because you had those two wild possibilities where it's like before the Titans game, like they could have missed and the 2 seed, and those two extreme possibilities were what made it so hectic, but also what exactly what made it awesome at the same time.
But
now we have 2 home playoff games, at least if they win the first one.
The story is just amazing because you just get lit up on these fourth quarter drives by other teams to lose these games early on in the year. And you had to stop Pat Mahomes in a 2-minute drill to win this game against Kansas City. You had to stop Dak Prescott with a chance to win. You had to stop Tua with a chance to win. Dak never got the chance. Who did we?
You're talking about the Easton Stick and the Patriots quarterback, Zappy.
Disregard that, but you had to stop Tua, you had to stop Mahomes, and you had to stop Baker Mayfield. Patriots.
When you think about that Mahomes stop, I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's literally the difference between us playing in Kansas City and us playing in Buffalo. I mean, if my sister, you know what I mean? Obviously, it's a lot of ifs, but like when you go back and like you look like at that, you know what I mean? I guess that 2 minute.
We could play that game. With the 1 seed too, then you know, go take it right back to 12 guys on the field. We have the 1 seed and we have a bye.
You flip that game
and then you flip the.
We
New
need
England
to flip
game.
At least 2, and then Baltimore probably would have been playing for something last week. So that's a tougher road to get down. I think the 2 seed is just about as good as you could have hoped for with any margin of error this year at all. So it's like the Eagles game didn't matter at all. So if you want to look at things that didn't matter, the Eagles game wouldn't have flipped their seeding. Either way, except, or, you know, by winning it, they'd still be the 2 seed is what I'm saying.
The arc of McDermott, though, the play caller being dragged, the injuries, the curve of growth was so awesome just as a coach to see what he could do to get punched, to get basically knocked out. You're on the mat. The count is at 8, 9. You get to 10, you're knocked out. And Sean McDermott pulls himself up like Rocky, getting all these bruises and pumped in the face, black eyes, and he stands there and he starts railing the guys coming at him, and he comes back up off the mat.
Pumped in the face and railing guys. Yes.
Oh man. He's getting rocked and he is rocking back out. But I don't know. They call it what you want. It's just amazing. I think Sean McDermott is not on the hot seat anymore. And his guys played for him and they held these offenses that are awesome to play terrible. They kept the Chiefs under 20, the Cowboys under 20, the Dolphins under 20.
Twice, right?
Yeah. It's what he did was outstanding. And we got to give him some flowers here if we're going to trash him, which is fine. He deserves to get trashed after 12 guys that came on the field, but let's give him some flowers now.
I still want to see how everything plays out. And I mean, I guess to your point though, he must have really been on the hot seat because he goes ahead in this post-game interview. And I guess it's a given that he doesn't have to thank the players because he sees them every day and whatever. But it was a little interesting that he goes, I want to thank God. And then he took like 30 seconds to thank the Pegulas profusely. And it's like, I feel like you wouldn't say that unless you had some sort of doubt that at one point your job was on the line, you know?
Well, maybe. But I think, Brennan, you unintentionally bring up a good point here, which is that how we're judging this team, how we're judging Sean McDermott is all results-based. It's all game results based and it's not play results based. And it really comes down to the execution of the players, I think. And, you know, whether you want to play into any of the narratives that have cropped up this year, you know, whether it was that the players couldn't execute in key situations, whether McDermott couldn't execute or be prepared in critical situations, like that script, the reason why we think that was flipped was because of the results. And we might be talking differently if Tua doesn't decide to throw that interception at the end, or any number of plays that you just switch totally, you know, so high leverage moments, like sometimes I don't want to just say you get lucky. You have to put yourself in a position to win, but this has been close enough to the margin of error. They haven't blown everybody out like the Cowboys. If that were the case, then you could definitely say, okay, oh my God, they turned it around. And that just adds to the enjoyment for me because we got, and it went our way. It went our way. Those, that crazy Trent Sherfield catch off of a helmet, the punt return, getting contributions from these guys, that there's a clip of Brandon from like before the season saying like the difference in the offense this year is going to be Deontay Hardy and Trent Sherfield. Like, let's the additions go. Of those guys are really going to make the difference here. And that was a cold take up until last night. And that's pretty cool because our narratives revolve around results. And the reason why the Sean McDermott hit piece hit so hard was because they were 6-6 and it looked like they had taken a step back.
No, just to what your point is, though, I think it might not have looked the same as it was before, but when you're looking at the point differential in the NFL, it's only three teams that have more than the Bills. And it is a decent number more, actually. It's kind of funny. So Ravens 203 plus 203, Cowboys plus 194, 49ers plus 193, Bills plus 140, Dolphins plus 105. So
I think they're the best team in the league, dude. I think they have the highest ceiling of anybody. I'm not trying to say that they're not that. I just wanted to express the importance of, you know, results-based narratives. And maybe that's a little bit of a tease towards my top 10, which we can actually get into here if you guys want to. It's a little bit different than usual.
I have one more thing to say about this narrative here, because I have just on the 12 men on the field and Drew Smyly, right? That's the special teams coordinator.
Matthew Smyly.
Drew Smiley's a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers then. Either way, totally relevant to
fun,
this podcast.
Fun facts with Brando.
But to have the punt return be so meaningful completes his arc too. He's like, okay, I'm good. I'm sorry, guys. I messed up. Somebody messed up. It's my area of the game, so I have to take the blame, even if it was the head coach. But we're going to run a punt back here. All is forgiven.
Right. That so Matthew Smyly is in a better place today because that Dolphins player tripped, got injured, and ran into his guy that sprung
that's
the block.
Tough.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah, and Puna terrible. Ford ran the fastest I've ever seen a man in his weight run.
The dude
ever.
Blocked the punter. Did you see Puna? He's out
these
there blocking
big
the punter.
Men can run. Now, it blows my mind to see, like, you see him on TV. The speed of the NFL is insane. To see a 4-2 guy like Achan, and then to see like a 4-5 guy like Diggs, and to see you know, a 4'8 guy who's 400 pounds, the 4'8, 40, right. Just like, he is still hustling, man. It's still hustling. But we also just have to say, even though he missed the throw, how about that route with Stephon Diggs on Jalen Ramsey?
Oh, yeah. Jalen Ramsey looking
beautiful.
Silly. And anytime
deep pass that he caught was amazing. But that route just, and you could see after the play, Jalen Ramsey's just smiling and Diggs does those stupid little airplane arms that he does when he misses a deep bomb. But they I'm glad they got him involved. They had to. It was good to see. He was all hyped up on the sideline too. I don't know if, did you catch it on the broadcast where they were like, Stephon is the energy on the sideline today. He is bringing it and it's contagious. And that's just awesome. I'm so glad to see him being happy.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, to go along with this, this is perfect, this conversation leading into my top 10. So we had a lot of headlines this year and a lot were negative, and I think that had to do with the record. So I'm going to take the top 10 Bills headlines from this year and reframe them in the current light. Now that we are AFC East champs for the fourth time in a row, the 2 seed and hosting a playoff game. Let me see if I can pull this up here. No drum roll today. This is going to be a little bit slower paced. But anyway, number 10, Bill's stressful run to division champ successfully distracts from abysmal Sabres. Helps a little bit. Sometimes stress is good. All right, number 9, expose piece sheds light on unbalanced McDermott culture that can't stop winning. Makes sense now, right? Inebriated man who fell into pit revealed to be 2023 Bills NFL scriptwriter.
Also high on every drug that you could imagine. He's just like writing the script for the NFL. That's how they do it.
Right. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense, right?
Yep.
Like when you look at the 2023 season.
Yep.
It's crazy. Number 7, Bills losses to New England, Denver, and the Jets, and wins versus Kansas City, Miami, and Dallas confirm simulation theory.
We are in a simulation.
Like what else could it be? Seriously. Number 6, Josh lets Josh be Josh. I think that one just
happy
speaks
Josh.
For itself. Happy Josh. Number 5, happy accident. 12 men play saves Bills season. Like, think
I
about
hate
that.
Looking at that picture.
The world was ending after that. And that was the play that led to Ken Dorsey getting fired. Are we in a different boat with Ken Dorsey still on board?
I still want to know how they didn't block it with the extra guy out there. How do you not block it? Shout out to the 11 guys on the Broncos.
It's hard to block a field goal regardless. All right, number four, Von Miller doing everything possible to lower 2024 cap hit. number three, stadium pit finally satisfied after adequate number of sacrifices.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. Number two, Milano takes sabbatical to make things quote unquote more interesting.
I have a funny story A funny story about Matt Milano real quick. I have a 5-year-old kindergartner. She walks in. She's the cutest little girl ever. And she's like, my mom likes Matt Milano. And I was like, yeah, I get it. And she's like, no, you know what? She says she really likes his arms. And I'm like, all right, I get it.
That's
like,
a pretty good shot of Matt Milano's arms right there.
But she's 5. I thought it was funny. Carry on.
That's hilarious. It's too funny. All right. Number one, top 10 headline reframed. McDermott successfully trains Bills to terrorize opponents.
Oh, jokes.
Not the smoothest delivery on that one. It's hard to read headlines out loud usually, isn't it? They're always like unnecessarily long and like have, you know, they're incomplete sentences. They're whatever you can fit onto the page.
That's true.
But I think that's just a funny look at some of the storylines from this year and how much different they look now. It's just crazy. Winning literally does cure everything. It's not just a saying. It literally rings true.
Yeah. So I have another one for you too, we saw the game that they lost where they benched James Cook for fumbling and say what you want, but James Cook is dropping touchdown passes every other week.
He's still playing. My girlfriend's neighbor almost sent in a noise complaint, dude, because I like stomped the floor so loud and was screaming and I felt bad, but yeah, I was screaming just like in the effing Jets game, and then I had to stop, and or it wasn't the Jets game, it's the Eagles game, but I was like, just like in the effing Eagles game. And so I agree with you on that, Brando. I mean, at least he's in a position to catch the pass with no one around him, but
they kept playing him, right? That's the thing. Sean McDermott benches players for fumbling, but they can drop touchdowns every other week, and now he's in the game. He hasn't done it since, so that was a one-off, which was, again, he was getting hate for.
I was kind of hoping for a Lenny Fournette touchdown too. I wonder what the odds were on that.
Like plus
I can 200? Tell you, it was like plus 400, I think. I had it in a parlay, so I don't remember exactly. But needless to say, that parlay did not cash. Nor the sacks. We tried for the sacks.
That was devastating. It was sacks.
Really thought they were. I mean, but that's what we thought the outcome was going to be the first time they played them, because Tua doesn't get sacked. He's too quick, and they kind of learned their lesson. Even with the banged up offensive line that played admirably, especially in the first half. But
I thought it was
impressive. Got to give the flowers to the Bills defense in that second half. I mean, if you look at their drives, they never ran more than 4 plays on a drive. It was all 3 and outs and then a 4 and out in there somewhere too.
And then if you look at the Bills offense, they never went 3 and out every drive in the second half. The Bills offense didn't go 3 and out at all. And then if you look,
I don't think they did the entire game. I don't think they went 3 and out the entire game.
But when it came time to land that knockout punch, they didn't quite get it, but they still did. That run, that 13-yard run by Josh Allen, man. Every now and then, it's not even every now and then. Every Sunday, you're getting one.
How did we get that?
You're getting one play from this man that is like, wow, we're watching the NFL and Josh Allen's king. Pat Mahomes, who? Like, he doesn't do that. So this is where that dribble up and down, like, it's bouncing higher than Mahomes right now, I think.
I think that play, too, was a little bit ruined in the moment because there was a flag on the play and you saw Allen look back and you're like, oh, God.
He's thinking about celebrating, but not really celebrating.
Dawson Knox hold on this play? Like, you know, that's what you're thinking about.
I felt bad because did you see his foot? He just goes to plant his foot and it's like he rolls his ankle and the cleat doesn't catch the grass at all. And he goes zoop and down he goes. Like he didn't mean to hold it. He just fell. He just fell.
Yeah.
But that
Josh play, it's just insane. Like, you know, a lot of these plays were like, oh, there's only 2 quarterbacks on the planet that can make that play. Maybe 3. Because we're thinking of Patrick Mahomes, maybe Jalen Hurts, depending on the play. But that play, I really think that Josh is literally the only dude who makes that play. I don't think Pat makes that play. I don't think that Jalen Hurts makes that play.
Maybe Lamar.
Maybe Lamar can make that play.
Only with his speed to hit the gap and go without having to dive through, but nobody else.
Right. Like breaking a tackle from Christian Wilkinson 7 yards away from the first down marker, and it doesn't even look like Christian Wilkins tried. And that's a big man. That's a very big man.
I love that we're rivals because he's good. I never disliked him until we started beating them so much. But he, oh man, if his What's arms were like an inch longer, maybe he's like an inch taller, maybe weighs 5 more pounds, the record for our games against the Dolphins would be different. If he could, if he could close some tackles on Josh Allen, there's a reason why Wilkins is just like a piss pot when we play him. It's just because he is on the cusp of these amazing games. And then he just turns into a highlight reel for the other guy.
He's doing the patty cap special, you know, like biting knees at the bottom of piles and stuff like that, and
they go, if they go down, if they go down, they go down. Look me up, Max Preps. I mean the only thing I will say is that I do feel like, for as much as we're counting them out next week, I mean, number one, Christian Wilkins did have a crazy strip sack last year in the playoff game, if you guys do remember.
How about a strip sack yesterday? Insane. Yeah. Insane. That was, that was a beautiful play. Just burning Osiris Torrance. Like, oh, swim move. I'm open. See ya.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I guess that is a good point. They did do the same exact thing less than 24 hours ago. Yeah. But, I guess the other thing, though, that I was thinking is, like, I wouldn't be completely surprised if we have a rematch in Buffalo.
We could have. Yeah. It could happen.
I mean, it was 20. It was, they were down 21-0, if I remember, when they played the Chiefs last time. And then,
are you checking the playoff bracket right now? Is that possible?
So the Dolphins would have to win, and then the Browns. I think we would play the Dolphins would have to beat the Ravens. It would have to be an AFC Championship game, because if you're the 7 and the 6, the 7 plays the 2, and then the lowest remaining seed plays the 1. So it would be in an AFC title game where the Dolphins beat the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Bills to get to the Super Bowl.
Right. So it could happen. It could happen in Buffalo. It would happen if the Dolphins win 2 games, right?
Against the
Dolphins are the 6th seed, so they've got to go into Kansas City. Whereas Kansas City, if they won that game, they would come to Buffalo, right?
Well, again, because we would get the lowest remaining seed, so we would get either the Browns.
No, I'm talking divisional round. We would get the second highest remaining seed, right?
Yes. So if the
second lowest,
so we would either get the Browns as a 5 or the Browns as a 5 or Houston as a 4.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, glad we cleared that up in audio and form.
I don't know if I want to see him for a 4th time. No, it would be a 3rd time. I think McDaniels kind of messed up yesterday. Achane was moving in the first half, and I think he only had 2 carries for like 6 yards in the second half. Well,
and on the season, he had like 7.5 yards per attempt, which is like crazy.
So they really, and the score was not out of it, and the game script could have called for the running game. And as I'm watching the game, they were calling, just the play calling was weird. And I don't think it was Mike McDaniel's sharpest performance. And I think this is something that he would learn from. So give me an AFC title game in Buffalo against the Dolphins. I like our chances over anybody else, especially over Baltimore, but I would be a little concerned.
Yeah. I think we're all rooting for Baltimore to lose in the first round of the playoffs, right? Is that, that's got to be the least likely team you'd want to face at this point, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't want to play the Ravens.
Who's the second least likely team that you would like to face at this point? Is it the Chiefs, the Dolphins, or is it Browns or maybe Texans?
I you know what? I don't want to see CJ Stroud. Did you watch the Colts game?
I did. Yeah.
Maybe McDermott worked some rookie quarterback magic that CJ Stroud hasn't seen in that dumpster fire of a division for defenses. But I don't want to. The Browns defense is outstanding. To see the Dolphins again is just Josh Allen's your daddy. So whatever. Even if it's hard to beat a team.
I mean, that
times.
Would be an insane Jim Schwartz redemption arc, though, too, when you think about it. Browns coming to Buffalo.
So, but I mean, I would love to knock the Chiefs off at home in the playoffs. Give me an AFC title game.
Here's a question. Has Jim Schwartz been with enough teams for enough amount of time that you're pretty much going to end up with the Jim Schwartz revenge arc no matter what the outcome of the playoff is, right? Because you could get Buffalo, you got Detroit, you got the Eagles too, right?
Eagles is the defensive coordinator, Titans for the defensive coordinator, Buffalo Bills, Eagles, Lions. Yeah, I think that's all of them.
He's the head coach of the Lions. Was that the only team he coached for?
He was on Bill Belichick's staff as a researcher for the Cleveland Browns in the mid-90s. Then he went to the Tennessee Titans as the defensive coordinator from 2001 to 2008. And he went to Detroit, had his thing, 2-14, 2-10. I don't know.
I'm sorry, what's the job description look like for a researcher for Bill Belichick? Is that like bring your own binoculars and video cameras or
what? Sign stealer, basically.
Must have knowledge of FCC rules and radio transmission methods used in NFL games.
He's probably a smart man.
Yeah, I'd say so. He's had success wherever he goes with most defenses. So
we're talking a lot about these other teams, but we really shouldn't look past Mike Tomlin.
You're right.
And he physically did beat up. Sorry, I just screamed that into the mic. But he did physically beat up on Sean McDermott on a regular basis at William & Mary. Let's not forget, go Tribe. But, you know, and Joe Brady went there too.
Well, they were talking about the staff from Williams & Mary's on both of these coaches' rosters. And I think Pittsburgh has three guys and Buffalo has two guys that went to that school.
Yeah.
Well represented. But TJ Watt being out is massive, right? Is like freaking.
I saw their record without TJ Watt is 1-11 or something like that all time. It might be 1-10, Pat. I could be wrong.
It's incredible watching him play football, watching him beat down on.
He's a game record.
Me so sad because he's come to Strahan's record. He's gotten so close so many times. I don't know. That is brutal. And they kind of.
When
like,
he finished with 19, right?
And then the year prior, what did he have, 20? 20 and a half? But he's come so close to the record multiple times. I'm just...
Well, either way, I mean, I don't know if Pickett's going to be healthy. I don't know if you just roll you with play Rudolph.
Rudolph
anyway.
You play Rudolph. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what you go with either way, right?
And then you pretty much have a rematch of that Sunday night game from a few years ago, maybe 2022, 2021, where you have, the 14-17 game, and it was a pick six that kind of broke that game open. But George Pickens and Deontay Johnson are sizable weapons for them. So, I don't know. Maybe talk more about this on Thursday, but we should enjoy the Dolphins moment right now that we squished the fish again and again and again and again and again and again. And again.
I remember that game, though. That's a crazy Sunday night game. That's 2019.
Maybe it was Duck Hodgins? Duck Hodgins?
Yeah, it's 2019, because we clinched the playoffs in that game. And you have Taron Johnson with the pick six and then Tyler Kroft with the touchdown at the end of the game to seal the deal.
That's right. Tyler Kroft, blast from the past.
He was on the Dolphins roster last night, inactive.
Was he?
That's funny. All right. Well, before we get too far into this, we still got some stuff to get to. So let's get a break in here. We'll be right back after this. We've got some quotes with Pat and other stuff on the way here. So stick with us.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You like the Bills? You like them at -10 at home, 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon against the Steelers? Lock it in if you are interested in that. You like the Lions against Matt Stafford, formerly the Lions quarterback? Lions -3.5. You like that there? We got a lot of games looking at -3, -3.5. Dolphins Chiefs coin flip of a game, Houston Cleveland coin flip of a game. You decide, take the points, take the odds, take the juiced up parlay, whatever you want to do, but whatever you do, do it on DraftKings. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code NABP. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code NABP. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please Play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
So I want to make a correction to something we said earlier. We were talking about playoff matchups. If the Chiefs beat the Dolphins, then they would come to Buffalo because they would be the second lowest remaining seed.
Are they a four? They're the four?
No, they're the three. The 4-5 would be Houston or...
The Browns are the four, I believe.
Baltimore. So like if the Bills win and the Chiefs win as the two and the three, that would mean the six and the seven are eliminated. Yeah. So the Bills would get the higher remaining seed.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So they would get the Chiefs, and then the winner of Browns Texans would go to Baltimore in that case.
Give me the Chiefs.
I didn't have it in front of me before. It's a lot easier when you're looking at it.
Give me the Chiefs, man. Bring them in.
I would take the Chiefs in Buffalo.
The quest for ratings.
To go on the road for the first time in Pat Mahomes' playoff career in Buffalo.
And have it go to Buffalo.
And have it come
this
here.
Worked out pretty good. This
the
worked out pretty good.
Career arc is happening. It happened for McDermott. It happened for Smiley. It's happening for Allen. Let's get it. Super Bowl. We're going to win. That's all.
I love that.
All right. No more shows until the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Right. All right. Let's roll some quotes with Pat.
All right, boys. I got a wide array of quotes today. Just want to give a big shout out to Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel as well. Love you guys. Thank you.
How about two times they beat Tanny and the Titans? They beat them. They beat Miami to make this situation plausible. And then they knock off the Jags for us to clinch. So shout out to the Stanley Steamer carpet cleaner. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes. No, Will Levis, Ryan Tannehill. We love you boys. All right. All right. All right.
It's time for quotes with Pat. They're things that people said.
My first quote is by Bill Belichick, and he's speaking about a mystery man I want to see if you guys can identify. He's the greatest special teams player I've ever coached.
Matthew Slater.
Yeah. I was hoping to be a trick question. I thought maybe one of you guys would pick, like, I don't know, like Adam Vinatieri or something.
Oh, gotcha. No, it's because Matt Slater's retiring probably, right? Gotcha.
He's the only, him and Tasker, whatever, I guess.
They should both be in the Hall of Fame. I really think they should.
Okay. How about this one right here? Coarse language warning. Why the f*** did you do that? That's f***ing bullshit. This is in response to a coach whose opponent was up by 24 points at the end of a game and then decided to score from the victory formation.
And this coach is no longer employed today.
I was going to say formerly employed Arthur Smith.
All right.
Oh, man. What an interesting guy Arthur Smith is. And, you know, like, I don't know if you guys have seen, there's this woman who does these NFL meetings where she, like, dresses up as the players and coaches. And her skits on Arthur Smith are hilarious. The dude is not, like, he refuses to use Bijan Robinson. He makes it harder than it needs to be. He's always trying to do the unexpected for, like, no reason, just for the sake of doing the unexpected. And I mean, I know maybe the rest of the world hasn't been paying attention to the Atlanta Falcons as much as I have on social media, but it was pretty funny. It was pretty comical.
So,
they were just so bad at using Bijan Robinson.
Can we talk about this?
Annie Agar's.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good. So there's some backstory to this, though. So Jimmy Graham gets quoted, and he was hyped up for Jameis Winston. He says, quote, "This man is the best teammate I've ever had. He loves this city. He loves this game and embodies everything you could ever ask for in a leader. It was a rare situation, and we all take responsibility. Nobody thought it would get blown out of proportion. Also, f*** the Falcons." But then, so Jamal Williams led the NFL in touchdowns last season and didn't get any all season long except for one right there at the end of the season. So that was kind of why Winston did it. And shout out to him, man. I would totally be down for this if it was Allen and Murray or Fournette or whoever. Like, yeah, slam it down New England, Miami, or the Jets' throat. Who cares? You got lit up by them for decades. And the Saints, good for them. I like this.
Yeah. I like it too.
All right. I got some more. Jameis Winston also, I believe, is 1-for-1 for like 50 yards and a touchdown in his only playoff statistic. But All right. Graham's trapping, yams trapping, bags trapping, packs trapping. Walk in your trap and take over your trap. Walk in your trap and take over your trap. This NFL player was singing Take Over Your Trap by Bankroll Fresh after a big victory yesterday.
Stuff. I'm trying to remember yesterday. Any kind of locker room videos that went viral.
It was on TikTok.
Wasn't Pittsburgh? They played Saturday. Was it Saturday's game or yesterday's game?
Well, the TikTok is from yesterday, so I guess probably yes.
It's Derrick Henry. No, not Derrick Henry.
No, it is from a Saturday game.
Okay. Najee Harris.
He's the only man I'm worried about burning us next week.
Deontay Johnson
or George Pickens.
George Pickens.
That's a good one.
I got one more for you. The beautiful thing is that you have an opportunity to take advantage of what's in front of us. You fall down 5 times and get up the 6th.
Josh Allen.
No, this is a Buffalo guy, Nick Sirianni.
Well, he said it, and then his quarterback reiterated it. Yes.
Okay, so Jalen Hurts actually said that. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I heard the Sirianni quote.
You see Jalen Hurts' finger?
Did you see Deion Dawkins' finger?
Yeah, it was real bloody. But Jalen Hurts' finger looked worse, dude.
He had like the complete dislocation.
Totally stuck upwards. I had a 7th grader who's a huge Eagles fan, and I sit down next to him. We're about to start church, and I sit down and I was like, Jaden, did you see Jalen Hurts' finger? And he's like, what? And I was like, you didn't watch the game yesterday? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry to break this to you right now. You're going to have to sit with it for the next 45 minutes in church. I was like, his finger's pretty broken. AJ Brown's knee's pretty messed up. I'm like, it was a tough day for you guys yesterday. And he's like, I knew it was a tough day, but I didn't know they all got hurt. He's like, oh, I got to think about it. Sorry. I'll see you later.
All right. Those are some good quotes, Pat. I like it. All right. Anything else we got to get to at the end of this one?
No, just that the Bills, the Sabres, and the Bandits swept their weekend games. Bandits get another win over their NLL finals rematch, and the Sabres picked up 2 wins. So go Buffalo
Sabres
Sports.
Sabres are undefeated in 2024, right?
Playoffs.
Let's see. Well, that might not hold up by the time this episode comes out. What have we got? So yeah, Tuesday, 6 p.m. Kraken. Sabres never play the Kraken well. Haven't they always lost to them? Like have they beat the Kraken once? I don't think they have. I'm not trying to sidetrack us in the last 30 seconds of the episode, but I'm pretty sure the Sabres have never beaten the Kraken.
That's a good question.
Kraken sneak out.
It's probably only been 2 or 3 games, but.
Yeah. Sabres versus Kraken all time, 4-0. Buffalo 0, Seattle 4.
Yikes. Yep. Anyway, well, if we can break that streak, we can do anything in 2024.
Super Bowl.
I got to clip that clip of Brando going, if Eli Manning can beat Tom Brady, then I can do anything.
Yeah, that's true. Dude, okay, last thing. Sorry, is that right? Yesterday, okay. Pat, I thought of you because they had a bunch of stuff for sale and they had a lot of CDs and albums. They had some good John Mayer CDs, but it was 3 for $5. And they had DVDs and CDs. And one of the DVDs that they had there was the 2007 Giants Super Bowl winning recap. And I'm I would buy it, but it's just going to sit. I have no space for it. And they had the Journey Don't Stop Believing album. What is that one?
Yeah, either the greatest hits or Escape.
It's Escape. It was Escape. Yeah. And then John Mayer, what's one of his early?
Room for Squares.
Room for Squares,
no,
Heavier Things.
I would have bought if it was Room for Squares.
Continuum.
Heavier Things is the earlier one.
Battle Studies.
That's a little later on. That's a Taylor Swift album, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Everything circles back around. Everyone's 7 degrees from Kevin Bacon, and it's 6 degrees from Taylor Swift, I feel like, is the new norm for that. Anyway, you guys know where to find us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff, at Not Buff Podcast. For those of you who can't see us visually and are listening to this in audio form, Pat has already left the building and is driving to Buffalo as we speak to that Walgreens to go check out 3 for $5 CDs.
It's a Rite Aid.
Rite Aid, sorry. Sorry. We're all Walgreens down here and Rite Aid. And
that's right. Rodney Harrison, when you call the game next week, I'm going to be thinking about that 2007 Giants team. Yeah. So, no slander.
Tons of slander. Anyway, we'll be back on Friday with Brando's bets and our game picks for the wild card weekend. So stay tuned for that. And until then, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. Strengthen security posture and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's VANTA.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.